We've talked about experiencing a new beginning in with our Bibles, a new beginning in worship. Tonight, I'd like for us to consider a new beginning in prayer, examining our prayer lives and seeing what we can do to make our prayer lives what they need to be. I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Prayer is essential to living the Christian life. A couple of writers have commented on this point. Jim Cimbala has written, "The world has yet to see a Christ-like, victorious, fruitful believer who was not a person of considerable prayer." William Carey wrote, "Prayer, that is secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness." So if we're going to be godly, growing Christians, prayer must be an integral part of our lives. The disciples realized that. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we find these words. "It came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" Lord, teach us to pray, they ask. The practice of prayer can be difficult. We may not consider it as such, but it requires time, obviously, but it also requires much effort and a lot of concentration. In our day and age, with so many stimuli around us that would distract us, it requires effort in order to pray as we should. Because we live in an age of what some have called the tyranny of the urgent, it crowds out our lives, or would seek to crowd out of our lives those things that are very important, such as prayer. So let's have this mindset of the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. And observe Jesus' answer and notice some lessons that we can apply to our lives to be people, even more people of prayer. Four facts from Luke chapter 11, first 13 verses about prayer. First one is, we must pray consistently. We must pray consistently. As you look at that verse 1 again and see that request of the disciples, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Notice the context. What had Jesus been doing? But he himself had been praying. And when he ceased praying, when he stopped praying, that's when they made this request of him. You see, Jesus was a person of prayer. Obviously, when we read the gospel accounts, we see that he made it a priority in his life to be prayerful. And if Jesus prayed, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? And yet, how often do we neglect the very thing that Jesus obviously saw as something very, very important in his life and ministry? Erwin Lutzer puts it this way: to say that you can live the Christian life without prayer is like saying it's possible to live without breathing. You can't do so for very long. That's how important prayer is. So as we examine our prayer life, the first thing we must do if we're going to have a new beginning in prayer is to pray more often. It may require choosing a particular time and place to help us focus and concentrate on communicating with God. Like Jesus did, Mark 1:35, "In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight," the scripture says, "he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Perhaps we also need to find that particular time of day and a particular place. It may be early in the morning, it may be in the evening, or it may be both. After all, a day hemmed in prayer is less likely to come unraveled. But if we're going to have a new beginning with prayer, if we're going to have a renewal in our prayer lives, we've got to pray consistently. We must also pray correctly. "Lord, teach us to pray," was the request. And then Jesus does teach them and teaches us through the Lord's model prayer. And again, we're looking at Luke's account And it varies some from Matthew's account. But in verses 2, 3, and 4, we find Luke's account of the Lord's model prayer. We could spend, and we have spent several lessons in exploring this prayer line by line, and it's time well spent. But I'm going to do a general overview of the Lord's model prayer and suggest four things, four lessons about how to pray correctly. And we'll use the letters of the word pray, P-R-A-Y, to help us remember these lessons. Number one, P, let that stand for praise. In our prayers, we must take time and begin with praise for God. Look at verse 2 with me of Luke 11. So Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" So as we begin prayer, Jesus is teaching his disciples, teaching us to begin with praise. And it's found in that word hallowed, which means to make holy or to venerate. It means to make or set apart as holy, to respect or honor greatly, to revere. Hallowed, holy, revered, may your name be, is what we're saying to God. And God's name stands for God himself. So we're to honor his name as we honor God and praise him for who he is and what he's done for us. And that's what Jesus says. He said, pray like this, "Our Father in heaven." We praise him for who he is, our Heavenly Father who loves us more than any earthly father could possibly love his children. We're to acknowledge him as our Father and be secure in that relationship because of Christ, knowing that he knows us, he knows our needs, and he cares for us. But not only because of who he is, but what he is. And again, that word hallowed be your name reminds us of some of what we spoke about this morning, that God is holy. He is set apart. And we must set him apart in our lives, in our prayers, but in our the way we view God and we live before him. Set him apart. Acknowledge him for who he is and what he is and what he has done for us. So to pray correctly, praise him. Secondly, R, we could state to stand for to renounce sin. Renounce sin. Skipping down to verse 4, "And forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Renounce sin. Renounce means to give up, refuse, or resign. And Jesus addresses this issue of sin as he teaches his disciples and as he teaches us to pray, that we need to be concerned about sin in our lives. Why is that so important? That it's simply because sin creates a barrier between us and God. Isaiah the prophet said long ago, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." And so as we pray, we need to be conscious of sin and how it separates us from God. And in our prayers include requests for forgiveness. That suggests that we have already obeyed the gospel, that we've already had our sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, that we're children of God, but still we need to be concerned about sin in our lives and pray, when we pray, pray for forgiveness, and that we will also be forgiving of others. So praise God. Renounce sin. Thirdly, A could stand for ask. Ask for yourself and for others. The request that Jesus includes in this model prayer, give us day by day our daily bread. And that has to do with our needs. And many times we would associate prayer with our needs, sometimes our greeds. But we need to remember to do it in the proper order. Praising him, but also renouncing sin, not wanting anything to be a barrier between us and God. And then consider our petitions to Him. James 4, here's a commentary on this very point. Verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. So we need to be asking God as Jesus teaches us here. But James also says, James 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, in our asking, we shouldn't be selfish. We shouldn't be focusing on our own needs. But again, bringing before God, yes, our needs, not selfishly, but also considering the needs of others. Ask for yourself and for others. And then why? Yield yourself to God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, bringing our needs before God, but ultimately allowing Him to be God and for Him to answer as He sees our need. But remember that God answers prayer when we pray properly, when we pray in accordance with His will. But He may not answer in exactly the way we want. Someone has suggested these different answers. If the request is wrong, the answer will be no. If timing is wrong, the answer will be slow or wait. If we are wrong, the answer will be grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and we are right, God will say go. But you see, the key to this is to yield our wills to the will of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, prayer is not to get our will done in heaven so much as it is to get God's will done on earth. So pray correctly. Pray correctly. Thirdly, pray continually. Pray continually. Look at verses 5 through 10. I want to read from the NIV for clarity here. Then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Notice that word boldness. Because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. New King James Version has the word persistence. Because of his persistence, he'll give him what he needs. King James Version has the word importunity. Because of his importunity, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Importunate means troublesomely urgent, overly persistent in request or demand. So the idea here is he's come to his friend's door at midnight. He's imploring him and persistently asking him, give me some bread so that I can feed my guest. And it's that persistence, that boldness that Jesus is instructing here. Because verse 9 he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. He wants us to pray. He teaches us to pray continually, persistently, passionately. As 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. There was a father who was watching his young son trying to move a big, heavy stone. No matter how hard the little boy pushed, no matter how hard he tried, he could not move the stone. After the father watched him 30 minutes trying to move that stone, he asked his son, are you sure you're using all your strength? Well, haven't you been watching me? "Sure, I'm using all my strength." To which his father replied, "No, you're not, because you haven't asked me." When we're faced with some challenge, some burden in our lives, God wants us to bring it to him and to be persistent in our prayers. That's the way the Lord teaches us to pray. And fourthly and finally, we learn from the Lord's model prayer that we can pray, and we must pray confidently, confidently. In another passage, we find these words of Jesus: "Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Again, in Luke's account, verses 11 through 13, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Of course, all those are answered, "No, of course not." Then the application: "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God is our Father. He cares about us. He wants to provide for us. There's an ancient legend about a king who hired some people to make some especially beautiful silk tapestries and robes for him. And one of the people that he hired was a young boy who was selected because he was especially gifted at this weaving tapestries. The king gave the silk and the patterns to those whom he had hired with strict instructions that they were to come to him immediately if they experienced any problems. The boy, like the others, was left to work by himself, and that young boy made steady and quiet progress, while the other workers seemed to be constantly frustrated and distressed by their failures. One day, the other workers gathered around this young boy who seemed to be, again, happy and successful as he made these tapestries for the king. And they asked, "Why are you so happy and successful while we're always having trouble? Either our silk becomes tangled or our weaving gets off pattern." "Don't you remember what the king told us?" the young boy said. "He told us to come to him immediately if there was any problem." "We did that," they replied. "We finally did go and ask him for help, but by then things were so bad that it took days for us to fix all of the mistakes." "Did you notice how often I went to the king?" the young boy asked. "Yes, we noticed, but he's a very busy man, and we didn't want to disturb him like we thought you were doing by always going to him." "Well," the young boy said, "I just took him at his word, and he was always happy to help me." And what the little boy reminds us is that God is always eager to help us. He delights when we come to him with our needs, with our concerns. It isn't an imposition upon him. He desires that we acknowledge our dependence upon him by coming to him consistently and continually. After reading this ancient legend, I thought about these words that we often sing: "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." How many times are we like those other workers and we try to fix it ourselves and then in desperation take it to God? We need to learn to take everything to God in prayer. To have a new beginning in prayer, let's commit ourselves to praying consistently, making that time to pray to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray correctly, acknowledging Him for who He is, praising Him, seeking to remove that barrier of sin by asking for forgiveness, and then taking our needs before Him, but submitting also to His will. Pray continually, continually, and pray confidently, knowing that He loves us and cares for us. 1 John 5:14 is a great passage concerning prayer. "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. How's your prayer life? Do we need a new beginning in prayer? Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for this avenue of prayer. Father, for Jesus who cleared the path, not only so that one day we can be reunited with You and live eternally with You, but also who cleared the path so that we can come to You through our great high priest, Jesus, and know that You hear and answer our prayers. Father, forgive us for not praying as we should, for not relying more and more upon You. Help us to recognize the power in prayer because You are powerful. Help us to be sensitive to the needs of others and be prayerful about them. But Father, You know our hearts and You know our needs. And we ask, Father, that You will bless us as You see our need in the ways that You deem best. Father, thank You for caring so much about us, that You sent Your Son to die for us. But also, Father, that You care to hear from us, that You desire that we come before You. Thank You for this privilege of prayer. Help us to be even more prayerful people. Again, we thank You for Jesus who makes it possible. We pray in His name. Amen. Prayer is certainly one of the greatest privileges of the child of God. Are you His child? Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, why not tonight? Have we as Christians taken advantage of this privilege that we have? Have we prayed to God? Does He need to hear from us more often? If you're subject to the invitation of Christ tonight, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.